This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers.
Get it? That's the name of the show.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into the AllSpark is
DFG1 Mike
and Optimus Solo.
So, as we mentioned in the last episode, today we are going to give you our spoiler-filled thoughts on Transformers: War for Cybertron Kingdom. Let's take it away, Mike. What are some of your favorite scenes?
I think my number one favorite scene out of all of this is the Laserbeak Air Razor battle or chase. I thought that was so well done because very rarely in modern animation do we see Laserbeak doing too much beyond just being a spy. I thought that was really, really cool. I love how everyone's trying to speculate the still image of Optimus just sitting there, like with the celestial background, like the stars and stuff behind him, and then we find out what it actually is and who actually comes in on it. I thought that was great. I hate every single scene Predacon Megatron is in. That character is a groveling, moronic fool. And yes, it was a poor decision to make him that way.
Agreed. I really dug the, I don't know how many times we actually get to see this. It seems like it's rare that we actually get to see this, but I loved Soundwave actually using Soundwaves for once as a weapon. Not saying he's never done that before, but it was just cool seeing it. But did he just die after that? Like, I don't know.
He didn't die, but he definitely got some injuries from Dinobot there. And I love the fact that they homaged Code of a Hero, technically, in this, with having the big Decepticon-Predacon fight with Dinobot.
Yeah. I also loved basically anything involving Dinobot, Starscream, and Black Arachnia. Like, all of that stuff was good to me. Like, Starscream with the crown hallucination.
Yeah. Well,
that was hilarious.
Fantastic. And just Dinobot, like, reacting to everything Starscream's doing as, like, why are you letting this guy be your friend to Black Arachnia, and all the double-crossing and the good, bad, who you're siding with. Like, I love that about those characters, because it was like, let's take the three characters most known for treachery, for treason, for double-crossing, for switching sides, or whatever the case may be, and put them all together. Yeah, it was great.
And then you get to see multiple double crossings going on.
Right. Or some that you thought were double crosses that weren't. And like it was a lot of misdirection there. So I like that.
Yeah, it definitely kept me guessing. And that was something that I really enjoyed about this, was it was being that they mixed these two universes here. You really had no idea where it was going. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what made it so enjoyable to watch, as opposed to the other ones, because you're like, okay, well, they still have to go to Earth, so these ones aren't going to die. They're going to be fine. So when we got, you know, the beginning with having the introduction of the Maximals, and, you know, they're kind of sitting there like, okay, well, we're crashed, and let's assess the damage. And then all of a sudden you have, you know, a cheetah spying on them, and then it's gone, and then they're starting to freak out a little bit. And then they see a rat chewing in the controls, and then all of a sudden a rhino comes barreling in, and then, you know, a tiger, and then Prime starts blasting them all away, and then gets jumped by a giant gorilla that gets thrown and transforms. And you see Primal use his swords more times often in this than you ever have before.
Just the reaction to that first transformation from the G1 characters, where they're like, what the hey,
they're like, on? They're us.
Yeah,
which, forget, who nice. Yeah, I forget who it was. It was one of you guys, or somebody said something somewhere about, ew, G1 Transformer sounds coming out of Beast characters. It's so unnatural. I don't care. They're transforming. Who gives a crap? And they're going to reuse sound effects.
Yeah.
From season to season, series to series.
Well, in to be fair, in Beast Wars, they all had their beast sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then a specialized transformation sound.
Right.
Whereas here, it made more sense budget-wise for them to just blanket use the same one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in all honesty, like, if I was going to be doing one, I would probably go the same route just so that it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it didn't sound as cool.
Right.
To have it the other way.
To see them with their jokes about whether they should say transform or maximize or mm-hmm. that type of stuff.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Clever.
Yeah. I forgot too, one of my other favorite sequences, kind of like more action sequences or whatever, was the whole rescue of Airazor with Mirage and Astrotrain and Scorponok in the cell as they're trying to, like, as Mirage is trying to pull a fast one by disguising himself as Astrotrain and this, that, and the other. I thought that was a lot of fun as far as the sequence goes.
That was definitely one of my favorite scenes in the episode, was him disguising himself and then standing in front of the disposed Astrotrain.
Mm-hmm. Looking at him like, maybe someone's going to notice this.
Until he woke up, and then they're like, oh, okay, there's two of them now?
Well, you always have to have a prime problem, right? I mean, in every Transformers season, series, whatever, you have to have somebody, whether it's Optimus, whether it's Megatron, whoever. Like, you always have to have that imposter character. And again, I say, I love the way they use Mirage.
When he first appears, when he's like, well, I guess I don't need my cloaking device, that is epic, a moment.
Yeah, that is awesome.
I like that they gave Mirage a chance to shine, because he's usually in the background, not getting enough time.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, the big spoiler towards the end when, I mean, granted the toy was already in existence, but Teletran mm-hmm. 1 was quite the thing to see.
Yeah, that was very interesting how they pulled that off. Like, oh, you just need the AllSpark to take this final form. Oh, okay, sure. I still don't think they can find anybody. Like, when I think of Teletran 1, I think of Casey Kasem. And I know close to the end of G1, Casey was like, see you guys, I'm just going to go do my top 40 countdown kind of thing, because of the, you know, rightfully so, of how he felt about the Carbamia episode and all of that, and that's fine. But when I think of Teletran 1, Casey is always the guy that I think of with that voice, and there's nobody on this planet. There are imitators. I mean, Steve even does a half-decent Casey Kasem, but there's nobody on this planet that could sound like that, and I don't know who they got off the top of my head for the voice of
Teletran 1?
The Ark, or whatever we're calling him.
Teletran Arkbot was Miles Luna.
Okay. Yeah. It was good. It was interesting. And like you guys said, I love the whole switcheroo to tie in to sell the toy. But it made sense in the story, though. So it isn't just like I said.
Well, it served a purpose, and it was kind of a callback to Animated, where
Mark
was Omega Supreme.
Omega Supreme, yeah.
But what I liked about it was this: he also was reminiscent of issue 80 of the Marvel Comics line of The Last Autobot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was curious on your guys' opinion of how you think they balance the fact that we have not really three MacGuffins, but we have three major artifacts with the Golden Disc, the Matrix of Leadership, and the AllSpark, all sought after, all being like a key part of this major journey that we're going on. Like, do you feel like it was too much to have three different things that people were fighting for, or do you think they balanced that well?
I think they balanced the Golden Disc well, because eventually it got destroyed. So
that was a Navy move by Bumblebee, by the way.
Well, right, yeah. But between the Matrix and the Allspark, I don't know. I kind of miss Vector Sigma. And seeing the Matrix just draped across Megatron's... Oh, God.
It was cool how they did that, though.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. It was like, hey, we're going to give you two spider legs, and you're going to have the Matrix in the center of it.
Well, no, he knows he can't have it inside because he's not made for it. He's not meant for it. So it's like, it's such a Decepticon or a bad villain type right. thing. Like, I'm gonna force this to be a part of me. And it was
but
like
I think they
like
could have done it another way, like how most of the like if you look at I think it's either Kingdom Galvatron or the Generation Select
Are you talking about where he has the neck chain?
Where he has the neck chain, like that would have been so much.
Yeah, this is more like a tank though. This is more fitting for Megatron.
This is more of his style. Whereas when he's Galvatron, he's more like prissy and pristine and regal and
the necklace looks like works for Galvatron.
Yeah.
The gun strap works better for Megatron, I thought at least. I think it was a lot to try to balance. I think they did a decent job. I like the fact that they're involving the Golden Disk, obviously, since it's a callback and kind of continuation of the Beast Wars storyline, etc., with those a little bit. But it was just a lot. I think the only thing that I didn't like about it was, I guess the old school in me like just wished Allspark wasn't part of this at all. When they were doing all the hallucinations with it, like that was the one part of the series where I thought it was dragging a little bit, where it was like constant constant like delusions, I guess, or whatever, where they're all seeing different stuff. Like I was fine for that for like a little short period, but I thought that stretched on a little bit long. Because you even get it then when you're at the place where, for some reason, they don't know that's Optimus Prime. Like, that was confusing. Like, you don't know that's Optimus Prime. Like, they were acting like it was Nemesis. But if you're the Allspark, can't you freaking figure out that that's Optimus Prime standing there? And, like, they're shooting at him. Like, I just felt that was handled weird. Like,
shouldn't
the Allspark know who's who? I don't guess. Yeah. Maybe I don't know enough about the Allspark.
I don't think anybody knows enough about the Allspark. Every time they reintroduce it into a series, it's different. It serves a different purpose. But either way, they put it in this lockable shell, you know.
But then, like, it's like, I'm going to be Ultra Magnus, and I'm going to attack you. And then it's like, oh, I'm Alita One. I like you. And then it's like, I have the Matrix. It's literally inside my chest here. I don't know. It was just weird, that part.
Yeah, I love what they did with Nemesis, because we very rarely, like, yes, I know technically Nemesis is Scourge and Black Convoy and all that and other things, but we haven't really had Nemesis in G1. Not really. And I like what they did with it. I like that we didn't have to have, well, he's already dead anyway, like Skywarp, Thundercracker, and other people become other bot, like become Scourge and Cyclonus and whatever. I like that it's just Galvatron, Nemesis, and Unicron. I think that part of the story was really, really cool.
Until we find out what Galvatron and Nemesis get turned into next.
That's true.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that they allude to the fact that Nemesis is Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
They don't say what timeline, though.
Right.
True.
Because he could have come from another universe, and because in their universe, Cybertron's dead, and Galvatron is there, too. So it basically, we're at that point where it could be anybody.
Nemesis Prime doesn't get transformed into an evil version of Rodimus Prime.
That would be great. And he'll smile and have teeth.
And a goatee.
I liked what they did with those two, and they kind of made it obvious, like when Nemesis was standing there and Prime gives, you know, the Allspark to Bumblebee, and he says, you know what, you know, basically, you know what I'm thinking here, and he says, he's not going to stop till he gets what he wants because he's you, you know. And so he hands it off to him and then fights Nemesis. And then I love the fact that the Nemesis ship gets taken down by the Ark.
Yeah.
And Primal, you know, when they get to Cybertron, he has the forethought to, you know, release all of the Decepticons and Predacons to help.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was an epic scene where they're all together on that one. But
I felt like that should have been one of Primal's phrases. Well, sometimes crazy works.
Yeah.
It was also, how cool was it to see Megatron and Galvatron like face to face? Like,
I love the shock. Yeah, I love the shock on Megatron's face when Starscream's like, "You fool! You are, that is you. That is your future."
You were born as a slave, and you'll die as one too. You know, and
yeah,
so this is like a moment of competency for Starscream. Like, he ends up actually being right, even though he's also being driven crazy, which is good because it alludes back to how he was portrayed previously. Mm-hmm. But like, it's kind of interesting that like he is right. He does get to see the Golden Disk. He does have the right information. He is trying to help and make things right while he's also being driven mad. So it's like a cool little moment for Starscream.
What do we think of, and I know this has been shown in other things like Beast Machines, there was a sunrise at the end of the Weakest Component episode where they all kind of walk away after Rattrap denounces having Megatron's noisemakers and all that stuff. So there has been weather shown on Cybertron before. What do we think of snow on Cybertron? It's like, holy crap, what is this, Chicago?
I didn't view it almost as snow. I guess that's maybe what it was supposed to be, but I always thought it was more like a not like a dust storm, but like a
volcanic something of ash.
Yeah, like something like ashy or dust or something of that nature, more than like an actual like liquid type thing. Yeah. But I guess it could have been anything, but it was interesting kind of how they played that, and they erected some giant statues very fast.
Yes, they did.
Once it stopped snowing, even though there was like bits of whatever that was still on the ground.
Yeah.
Probably a chemical plant explosion or something.
And it was kind of interesting that everyone was dead in Cybertron.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since I've seen Siege or Earthrise. Jazz dies in one of those. Is that correct? Or not?
I don't remember.
Because Jazz is the only one that's not there with the rest of the group.
I don't remember him even being in this trilogy.
Like, Prowl isn't shown, but then in later scenes he's shown. Like, he's there sometimes and he's not there sometimes, I noticed. Mm-hmm. But I never see Jazz, and he's like the one that I was like, well, that's the one original one that's missing, besides Cliffjumper, but he was in the earlier ones, right? I gotta go back and watch those. But it was kind of, it was weird to me, like, that certain characters were there and certain characters weren't. Just like the Beast Wars, Steve, did you have, who are you most shocked not to see?
I was most shocked not to see, Waspinator.
Yeah.
Tarantulas, Terrorsaur, yep. Inferno.
For me, it was Waspinator and Tarantulas. I was like, really? We don't get those two? Those are like two of the best characters. And I feel like Waspinator could have been more the groveling character, and then Beast Wars Megatron could have been a legit character. Like, I don't care.
And it's not like I wasn't putting myself out there as the voice of Megatron for a while.
Yeah, but I was definitely surprised at that. They did try to do like a kind of a modern hot topic social commentary with the whole it doesn't have to be binary thing, which I was like, so maybe a little bit of nail on the head too much for me in this Transformers world. I know that's kind of the world we're living in right now, but I was like, do you need to bring that into Transformers? But it is what it is.
Yeah, because I didn't feel that was really relevant.
Right. But they made it like a big
storyline was fine. Yeah.
I was like, we already know Dinobots conflicted. You don't need to do you don't have to be one or the other. You can be your own thing. Like, we get that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the nice thing was, is Dinobot went out on his own terms again.
Yeah.
On the show, just like what we talked about with the other Netflix series with Revelation, there are stakes here. People die. And we get to see all of them in Spark form when the AllSpark is doing its thing, too. So that was kind of crazy. But
well, I loved how Dinobot stole the Matrix and then still got away after being mauled by Megatron, Beast Megatron. And then he asks Primal, you know, had I come to you, would you have accepted
right.
me? He's like, yes, I would have. Then
you would have.
Yeah, and then Rattrap calls him Chopper Face. Chopper Face.
That's the weird thing about Beast Wars Megatron, though, was when he was actually fighting, or when he was, especially when he was in beast mode, the dude's a badass. And then as soon as he's talking, it's like he loses all intimidation factor and all badassery.
Oh yeah, he loses all credibility.
Which yeah, is like you should have just stayed in your beast form and tore stuff up, because then I wouldn't have to hate you.
So I am looking at, because obviously we are recording this before Kingdom is actually fully released, I am looking at the cast of the entirety so far, and I do not see Jazz's name or a voice actor. And I'm looking on the TF Wiki, tfwiki.net, so I know it's accurate.
Right.
Jazz is not in this trilogy at all.
See, that's why, like, I'm going to need to watch them, like you said, all three eventually back to back, because I'm trying to remember characters and pieces and bits from stuff I watched months ago, and I'm like, I need to watch it all to make sure that some of this doesn't not make sense, or like, what are the weird reasons why some of these characters aren't there versus some of them that are. I get you can only pick and choose, but then we clearly get the picture that I showed you guys with two random ass Autobots standing behind Optimus Prime from Kingdom that never appear in any other shot, I don't think. So it's like, you took the time to draw these guys in. Like, couldn't that one of those have been Jazz and one of those have been whoever else we're missing?
Well, like, and then the fact that RC is a part of the group.
Right, that's weird. Because it's like the only movie character that shows up. Well, I guess Ultra Magnus, but...
Well, RC was in Earthrise.
Yeah, no. I'm saying when this is like when
on the we're arc, going back though.
To Earth. Yeah, when we're, when we're doing the arc storyline, it's like we should only have people that were there, and RC definitely wasn't there at that point, and Ultra Magnus wasn't there at that point. I know that's a different way to bring him in, but it's kind of like we chose those two to bring in, but we didn't bring in any of the other movie characters, right? And any of the other three in this trilogy, we don't get Cup, we don't get Blur, we don't get you know, Rekgar, Rodimus.
No.
So it's weird that we get RC and Ultra Magnus.
And honestly, I don't know who, I don't know whatever, per, you know, for me, may the man rest in peace. Rodimus for me is like what Beast Wars Megatron is to Steve. You That's either why I'm get
you, out of Unicron as an evil teenager.
You either get Judd Nelson or whatever. Now, I will say, whomever did it in Cyberverse, I forget, I'm not looking that up right now, I did enjoy whomever the actor is in Cyberverse as Hot Rod / Rodimus. But, you know, sadly, Dick Gauthier is no longer with us. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what, and I'm hoping soon-ish, after we release these episodes, we can get FJ DeSanto on here and kind of ask him, like, hey, this is completed now. What did Hasbro say to you to, like, and I know the guys over, I listen to this show all the time. The guys over at Transmissions interviewed him, I think, right before Siege or right before Earthrise, I forget. And he explained each whatever. But I'm hoping we can get him on for an interview and just pick his brain on what really went into how this story was told, and did they give you the character list? Did they give you this? Did they give you that? Did they say, oh, you can't use this character?
Well, from what I've heard
from
a recent interview, is that they gave him a list of characters and said, you know, with the 25 years of Beast Wars, we want you, you know, for instance, for Kingdom, they said, these are the characters we want you to incorporate. Like, for sure. And so they threw them in, and then that's why we got what we got.
Fair enough. Sometimes they are restricted and restrained from certain stuff, so I get that. Yeah. Are you guys hoping for... I know this is the War for Cybertron trilogy, and we've had all three parts, but is there hope for more?
I assume they're going to do another trilogy somehow. I don't know if it's going to be this same crew.
I'm assuming it's going to be the same crew, and I'm assuming it's going to be the same actors, and I'm assuming they're going to have a continuation of the same story, because unless I think that they intended to do that at Machinima, as well, but Machinima went under shortly thereafter. And because they had Ghost of Starscream, you know, show up at the very last, like, 10 seconds of the Machinima one. Here, Unicron pulls back Nemesis and Galvatron. Never shows them fully destroyed, though. And then he alludes to, you know, the fact that they gave him ideas. And then it just goes from there and kind of ends. So that leads me to believe that the next trilogy is going to deal with the lot of them and then Unicron.
I hope so. I'm down. Like, I have my gripes and complaints about some of the voices and some of the this, that, and the other, but it's such a good visual representation of the universe, and I like that it seems like they've put some thought into the story and the writing and stuff like that, that I can deal with some crappy voices. I like seeing what we're getting, and I hope it lasts a little bit longer at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm done with that. I could be fine with,
and I'll buy more toys.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing.
If I can find them.
That is true. Unless you're like one of those lucky people that, you know, can figure it out.
Right.
Unless you're one of those smart people and you just pre-order on Big Bad Toy Store.
That takes the fun out of it.
I like to discover them.
I like to hunt.
I do too. That's part of the fun. But that and BBTS tends to get things months after everybody else. So.
But that's okay. If I've already paid for it and they already have taken my money, I'm guaranteed the figure. Yay! I don't have to worry about.
They don't take your money until
it ships. But
yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I like the hunt of it. But I've been enjoying the fact we've been getting new Beast Wars figures because of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now, how do you think the Worlds Collide stuff is going to tie into all of this?
I don't.
Yeah, I'm almost afraid that I don't know. I don't know if they write. I would think they wouldn't write the Beast Wars characters out, because they could easily do that, where like some type of time thing makes them all disappear because that timeline doesn't exist anymore, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's weird things you can do once there's time travel involved. So I don't know how they would handle that. Or if they would end up back on Earth or how that would work. So it's kind of weird when it comes to that. Like, I don't know if they go in a completely different direction and introduce more of the movie and post-movie verse, because it seems like each chapter has been a completely different take or a different section of the universe. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know what their intentions are then going forward.
Ooh, new trilogy. We go to Nebulos. Yay!
Or we get back to Masters or Pretenders or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that those Worlds Collide ones, the crossover with the G1 and the Beast characters, I'm hoping that those come into play in the next trilogy. You know, maybe some future versions of characters like Grimlock and, you know.
That'd be interesting.
Just seeing all those pairings show up. Mm-hmm. Would be great. And some of the Beast characters we didn't get to see, because I know next year they're going to have basically Kingdom Tarantulas come out.
Mm-hmm.
In the end of this year, they're going to have Golden Disc exclusive Terrorsaur, and they're supposed to have a Golden Disc exclusive Tigatron as well as the general release Tigatron. So I'm wondering what the difference is going to be of those.
Yeah.
Which could very well be, you know, akin to the Netflix versions.
And they haven't done anything with combiners yet, have they, in the trilogy?
Mm-hmm. No, they have not touched on them at all in this trilogy, which is interesting.
Hmm. So there's a lot of things they could tap into that they haven't touched yet.
Absolutely.
I got tapped in there for you, Mike. Thought you'd be happy.
Tap.
You know what?
I use the word tap just to make you happy.
So as we finish this out, what are your favorite characters overall from this part of the trilogy?
Galvatron and Nemesis Prime.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Megatron, Galvatron, and Nemesis Prime.
Man, for me it's I've liked Megatron just because he's depicted better than a lot of the other ones, and the voice work is good and all that type of stuff. Like I said, I really enjoy all the Black Arachnia Dinobot Starscream stuff, so that was fun. I'd like to see a little bit more out of some of the Beast Wars characters. I'd love to see Tarantulas and Waspinator involved, but my favorite G1 character out of all of this, it might be Mirage. Like, I just like what they've done with him in this set, and I like that he got some time, and I like that he showed that he is a badass with his illusions and that type of stuff. So I was a big fan of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Mirage rocked.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. I liked Mirage and how he showed up. I liked Dinobot. I liked Black Arachnia, Starscream, original Megatron.
What are you going to do now, you old fool?
Primal, just because of what they were able to do with him.
Rat Trap, yeah.
Yeah, Rat Trap. Even to some extent, Rhinox wasn't too bad. Helping Wheeljack.
Yeah. I like this. That's like what I talked about in our last episode when I said, like, picture certain characters playing off of each other and having scenes together. So Wheeljack and Rhinox is one of those. Like, that's cool just to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, it was, I guess, kind of getting into our final thoughts. Overall, like, my opinion of it is I really enjoyed this part of the trilogy. I was, being that the bar was already set low, all I could do was go up. So I was not disappointed in the slightest with how this portion turned out.
No, not at all. I don't know how I'd rank it yet, because I would really want to rewatch them all back to back, like Mike was talking about, really to get a good opinion of it. But like, this definitely did not disappoint me in any way outside of Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the most glaring thing. I can overlook almost any other voice acting thing. I mean, yes, Tigatron, his characterization is not what it should be, but for me...
He's also not Beast Wars Megatron. He's not such a main character.
Yes.
True. But still, I mean, it's Tigatron. Come on. For me, it's like, oh, okay, like, again, I'm the music guy around here kind of thing when it comes to this sort of soundtrack score stuff. And I need to, that's one of the reasons why eventually we're going to come back and do all three, because I wish I could have heard the score by itself, because it actually doesn't release until the 29th when this releases, sadly. But I love what Alexander Bornstein did in the first two with the music. I think that Earthrise is a better soundtrack score for that season than the Siege music was in that season. And I'm just hoping, like Steve said, the bar can only go up from here. So I'm hoping that with the Kingdom score, it'll be even better.
Yeah.
Just reparations. We come from a future where the Allspark no longer exists. We are the result of you ripping it from Cybertron and failing to bring it back.
Then let us complete our mission. Once Cybertron is restored, we will have changed the future. And this timeline. But not in mine.
So with that, thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so on geekcastradio.com or listen on your favorite podcatcher. Follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio. My Twitter is at SCP21. What is yours, Mike?
GFG1 Mike.
And Kevin?
Mine is at Optimus Solo.
Join us next time when we kick off the top 100 Transformers characters countdown. For now, I've been Steve Megatron with
GFG1 Mike.
And Optimus Solo.
Saying transform and transcend.
The only hope I have for a better future is to kill Unicron. It's true. On our Cybertron, we lived under constant threat from Unicron and his lackeys Galvatron and Nemesis Prime. But we are not returning to that world. This is our home now, and we are prepared to defend it. All of us.
Yes. Yes.